The title of the sermon today is Our Living Redeemer. We're going to talk about several families today that, if you'll notice, they're a lot like our families. In Genesis chapter 35, we find that Jacob is meeting up with his twin brother Esau. And they have reconciled their differences, their own speaking terms, and Jacob's not afraid that Esau's going to kill him. So they've ironed out all of their family squabbles up to this point. And we notice that God is speaking to Jacob, and he tells him in verse 1 to arise and go up to Bethel. And we see him as he goes up to Bethel and he builds an altar. And if you study the life of Jacob and his family, you will see that they are a lot like us. They were flesh and blood, human beings. And they had their ups and downs. They had their trauma and their drama and everything just like we do. Yet through it all, we notice that Jacob acknowledged that God was worthy of all of his praise, all of the honor, and all of the glory. That God was his Redeemer. The story is told of a man that was a lone survivor of a shipwreck. And he washed up on this deserted island out in the middle of the ocean. And he prayed to God. God sent somebody to rescue me. Nobody came. Every day he would go out and look at the horizon and see if he could see somebody coming to rescue him, but nobody was there. And eventually the man was able to build a small hut out of driftwood so that he could store what little provisions he had been able to salvage in this hut. And one day he went out to look for food. When he got back to the hut was in flames. And there was just pillars of smoke going up in the air. Everything that he had was going up in smoke. And the man cried out, "Oh God, how can you do this to me? What's going on? Why is this happening to me?" There was no answer. He went on and got a night's rest. He got up the next morning to the sound of a ship landing on his island. He looked at the man at his rescuer. He says, "Well, how did you know where I was? How did you find me?" And the captain of the ship says, "We saw your smoke signals." Now, I want to focus on a different man. Another man from the Bible named Job. Job also acknowledged that God was his Redeemer. Job's house wasn't on fire, but it may as well have been. Because everything he had, it seemed like that it was going up in smoke. And when I look at Job and his life and the things that he was involved in, I can't help but think of Solomon and all of his wisdom. Solomon had everything anybody could dream of. So did Job. He had a family. He had children. He had cattle. He had land. Everything that anybody could possibly dream for, Job had it. He had more than any of us could ever imagine having. But one day it all went up in smoke. Not literally. But here's this man that found favor in the sight of God, the scripture tells us. And one day he gets up and he's not a well man anymore. He's sick. Here's Job with sores all over him. His flesh is deteriorating. He's falling apart. And all of a sudden, something else happens. His sons and his daughters are away from home visiting. And the scripture tells us that a great wind, possibly a tornado, came up and just totally destroyed the house where they were, and they were killed. Our mind can't fathom that, losing all of your children in the twinkling of an eye. To make bad matters worse, Job's servants were out taking care of the cattle and tending to the farm and doing what they were supposed to be doing. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes the Sabian army and the Chaldean army, and they just vandalize everything. They kill all of Job's servants and steal all of his cattle and everything. So his children's gone. His body's falling apart. And just everything is gone. And his wife comes to him. Says, Job, just look at you. You're a mess. We've lost everything we ever thought about having. And here you are trying to die? Why don't you just curse God and go ahead and die and get it over with? And what did Job say? I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my Redeemer lives. You know, Job went through so much stuff until any one of us would have thrown in the towel at the first sound of I'm sick. I don't think I'm going to make it. I just can't do this. I kind of felt that way when I felt God called me to preach. God, I can't do this. And Job did not throw in the towel. Job said, I know my Redeemer lives. Even Job's dearest friends, his closest friends, his three best friends in the world come to him confidentially, you know. Tell me now, Brother Job, what have you done? Surely you've sinned. You've done something wrong or all this stuff wouldn't be happening to you. I remember off and on all my life hearing people say, well, I don't know what he done, but he must not be living right or all this stuff wouldn't be happening to him. You ever heard anybody make that remark? Surely they sin. They must not be as Christian as they claim to be. But Job was a devout man. He loved God. He put his faith and his hope and his confidence in Jehovah God. Through all of the troubles and trials that Job had, Job stood firm. Now let's look at Job a little bit more closely. Let's look at the scripture. Job, the 19th chapter, beginning with verse 23. Job 19, verse 23. Oh, that my words were written down. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved on a rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at last he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been thus destroyed, then in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side, and my eyes shall behold him, and not another. My heart faints within me. In the midst of all of this, he said, I know my Redeemer lives. A woman was at the checkout counter in the grocery store in the supermarket. She wanted to use a coupon to make her purchase. And as she was handing the coupon to the clerk, it slid out of her hand and slid up under the scales, totally out of sight. And the clerk says, I'm so sorry, ma'am. She says, oh, that's okay. It was just a coupon. It's a coupon heaven now. he looked at her. He says, I beg your pardon? She says, oh, yeah. She says, that's where all coupons go when they die. He thought a minute, and he looked at her, and he says, only the redeemed ones. Of all of the good news that Job declared, it reflects the hope that we as redeemed children of God, we can possess this hope. Job made 3 points very clear in our scripture today. He expressed a strong belief in the need for redemption. He was a devout man, but he wasn't a perfect man. I mean, there's not ever been but one. But he was perfect in the sight of God because he had asked for the redeeming power of Jesus Christ to come into his life. I wish that we could all have the attitude that Job had, that we need redemption. We need to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we need to acknowledge that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We need to acknowledge that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Redemption from the penalty of sin, which is death, is found today in the flow of blood from Calvary. That crimson flow that cleanses us from all of our unrighteousness. Paul tells us in Ephesians 1:7, in Him, referring to Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the richness of His grace. Jesus Christ is our Savior today. He is our vindicator. As our vindicator, He delivers us. He avenges us. He exonerates us. He sets us free from condemnation. He justifies us, and He defends us before God, our Heavenly Father. This doesn't mean that Job fully understood the concept of Jesus coming, the second coming of Christ. Whenever Job made the remark that our Lord is coming, he didn't understand it and present it quite as clearly as Isaiah did in the book of Isaiah chapter 23. Whenever Isaiah talks about the suffering servant, that portrays more of who Jesus Christ really is to us. John described our Lord's second coming as He would be coming as a conquering king. He would be coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Revelation 1:7, John wrote, look, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him. Even those that pierced His side will see Him. And on His account, all of the tribes of the earth will wail and mourn. Job believed also in the need for a Redeemer. He believed in the second coming, and he believed in a bodily resurrection. Job knew that one day he would die, that this body of ours would decay and return to the earth. But he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that one day that body would rise again and meet the Lord in the air. That's our hope today. That's what we strive for as Christians, to live a redeemed life, one that will be pleasing in the sight of God, that we can have the assurance that when we die and this body fails, we will see Jesus. If our faith is firmly anchored today in the Lord Jesus Christ and in this atoning blood that I'm talking about, we can be just as confident as Jacob was at Bethel And just as sure as Job was, in spite of all the trauma and drama that was in his life, we can be just as convinced as the Apostle Paul was. Paul wasn't convinced the first time he encountered a Christian. It kind of took an eye-opening experience for Paul on the road to Damascus for him to see that he needed this Redeemer. Jesus Christ today is our living Redeemer. He is our Savior. I like to think of the words of a song that says, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, life is worth the living just because He lives. No matter what problem you may be facing today, no matter what comes your way, be assured that your Redeemer lives. No matter what setbacks you may experience, no matter what may happen. I've heard people talk about, I try to take one step forward, I wind up taking two or three steps back. We all have setbacks in our life. Life is not perfect. But we have a living Redeemer today in Jesus Christ. No matter what pain you may be suffering today in your body, know for sure that your Redeemer, your Healer lives in Jesus Christ. No matter what disappointments you may have, know that your Redeemer lives. He is a living Redeemer. Jesus Christ is not dead. He arose from the dead that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Job found this out firsthand. He lost his children. He lost everything that he had materially. But in the end, Job had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had twice as many cattle. He had twice as much land. He had abundantly more than he ever dreamed was possible. And most of all, because of his faith, his devout faith, his abiding faith in this Redeemer. Because of this, Job knew in his heart. He says, I will see God. Can you say that today beyond a shadow of a doubt? Do you have that assurance in your heart that if you were to die today, that you would see your Redeemer, Jesus Christ? Are your sins under the blood? Have you been forgiven? Well, yeah, back in 1962, I accepted Christ as my Savior. I'm happy for you. But our Christian experience today is not based on a 1962 experience. It's based on where you stand today with Jesus Christ. I would hate to know that this may be my last homecoming at Bethel. I'm honored to have each of you here. But I want to see you in heaven. I want you to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I want you to be able, like Job and like Jacob, to say, I know that my Redeemer lives and that I'm saved and that when I die, I will see Jesus. If you can't say that today, I'll be glad to pray with you after service to help you find that redeeming Savior in Jesus Christ. We will face our Redeemer one day. We'll see Him face to face. And He will look to see if our name is written in that Lamb's Book of Life. Think about it. Think about it. Does your Redeemer live? Will you see Him one day face to face? When you see Him face to face, will He know who you are? Or will He pass by and say, sorry, I never knew you? Amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we're so thankful for the power and the anointing of your Holy Spirit, for your love, for that redeeming grace that we can have in our hearts and our lives. We pray, Father, that if there's a man, woman, boy, or girl here today that has not accepted you as their personal Savior, that they will before this day is over. Father, help them to experience firsthand that redeeming grace, because you are our living Redeemer. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand?